I'm so thankful that the Lord is a present help in time of trouble, and he will not fail us. When the Lord gives me thoughts, scriptures, verses, it's always for me first. And it's always something that will help me too. And so tonight I want to encourage and share with you what the Lord has given me that's been a blessing to me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 11th verse. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance. Keep that thought in mind. It's not to the swift, it's not to the strong, it's not to wise, it's not to men of understanding, men of skill, but time and chance happens to every person. Keep that thought and turn with me over here to Galatians, the 2nd chapter, and I'm going to talk a little bit briefly about some of the custom of the Jews here. We know how that Paul was chosen. He was a Pharisee by his birth and raising, and Paul had been called out on the road to Damascus. We know the story, how he was blinded there on the way. He was going to persecute Christians, and God stopped him on the road and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And talked to him and told him to go to a tanner's house over in Damascus and wait there. And then the Lord sent Simeon there to pray for him, and he received his sight. And from then on, Saul, who was later Paul, became a disciple, outreaching to those of all nationalities, not only to the Jews, but he also had a calling to go out into the Gentiles, which was very contradictory to the way that the Jews had been taught and trained. Their way of thinking from birth up was that they were the chosen people and that they were supposed to keep themselves separated from the Gentiles. And not only were they doing that as far as not worshiping the Gentiles' gods, which is really what God wanted them to abstain from, picking up the worship of false gods, but they did it in a lot of other customs and habits too that they had picked up. And so it is here we find in the 2nd chapter of Galatians, Paul had brought in some Gentiles that had been converted and been saved under the blood of Jesus. And Peter came. And Peter was not pleased. In the 11th verse we find here, Paul writing, and Peter was not pleased to sit down and eat with the Gentiles. He was wanting to separate himself. He said, "No, I'm a Jew, and I'm not going to eat with those Gentiles. I'm taking my food, and I'm sitting over here." And he caused division here. And Paul spoke to Peter about this. He says here, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live is in the flesh. In the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, and to put it into a concise form, what Paul is actually saying to Peter here is, there is no more Jew and Gentile. But whenever a person is saved under the blood of Christ, then we are all forgiven of our sins and we all become one in Christ. And that's what he's telling him there. He said, you're separating yourself because you were born as a Jew. Now, none of us here, I don't believe, were born Jew into the lineage of Abraham, the flesh. And none of us chose who our parents were. Nobody does. Nobody chooses who their parents will be, their natural parents. Nobody has that choice. Nobody chooses what family you will be born into. Nobody chooses your color of your skin, your hair color, your eye color. That is nobody's choice. We are all born into this world, into the family that God put us in. So that's nothing that we have a choice over. None of us, by nature, by natural. So that's what he is saying here. Paul is telling Peter that these men that have now come to Christ, they did not have the choice of their natural birth, but they made a choice about their spiritual birth. They had a choice here, and they chose Christ. And now Christ has come, and he, through his shed blood, has opened up the fountain for all men. Well, Peter got the message a little better later in Acts. If you'll turn with me to Acts, the 10th chapter. And it's a blessing that Peter was open to learn this lesson. In Acts 10, and well, if we just tell the little story here, he was sleeping. He went up on the roof to sleep, Peter did. And while he was sleeping, the Lord gave him a dream. And a sheet came down from the sky, and on this sheet there was all manner of animals. Let's see, he said in the 12th verse, this is Acts 10 and 12. Well, I'll just read the part here, starting with the 9th. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill, and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice. Three times this happened. He had this same vision. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. This centurion had sent for Peter to come and tell him the way of salvation. And Peter, in his human way of thinking, because he was a Jew, had it in his mind that he should not enter into a Gentile's house, especially someone of the Roman guard. But because of God giving him this dream and speaking to Peter, and because Peter had an open heart and chose to listen to God, whenever these messengers came for Peter, he was willing to go with them. And he went to Cornelius' house, and he talked to him, and he told him about Jesus and how Jesus had come. And Cornelius believed, And he accepted Jesus. And it says, going in down into the 10th chapter there, Cornelius tells Peter his testimony, and in the 33rd verse, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We want to hear about Jesus. And Peter was open to realize of a truth. God has this for everyone. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. This was a big opening to Peter's mind. It was reverse of the training he had had as a youth, that he was to keep himself separate. But here he realizes God has revealed to him that he is not any better than anyone else, because he was born of the Jews, but now he has something to share because he was born of Christ. And Christ working in him and through him would make him able to bring souls into Christ and to help them to be saved too. And so it is here, this is a wonderful truth that was opened up to Peter. And I'm thankful that he was willing to receive that. He made a choice. He made a choice to believe that God had given him that vision. He made a choice to go to Cornelius' house. He made a choice to begin to preach the gospel to other nations. And you'll find that later from there on, Peter went out into other places and he taught to other peoples of all nations. He was willing then to take the gospel. God, in his great wisdom, deals with every soul where they are, and in what level of understanding they have. And so it was here. At that particular time, Peter needed something to be dealt with on, and he was open and chose to receive it. And because Peter was, God was able to use him as an instrument to tell the gospel to someone else. And that person, Cornelius, he chose to open up his heart and to receive the gospel. So it made a difference in his life. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. And he brings, every time, somewhere in someone's life, he brings truth to them to let them know, I love you, I care about you. And when that chance comes, when that time comes, that opportunity, it's up to that individual to choose, to choose. I was thinking about the harlot that Rahab that was there in Jericho. You remember the story of how that the spies, Joshua sent out spies to spy the land because he wanted to know how strong the people were military-wise. And the spies came into the city and it was known that they were there. But Rahab, she knew they were men of God. God had talked to her somehow she understood that these men were mighty. And she told him, come to my house and I'll hide you. And she put him up in the top of the house and the roof and covered them with flax. And she hid them and she told the spies after she let them down, before she let them down on the wall by the, she was on the corner, her house was on the corner there of Jericho, and she let them down. She said, when your men come, when you come, because I know you serve a mighty God, when you come to destroy the city, spare me and my house. And they told her, if you'll put a red cord outside your window, we will mark it. We will not destroy your house. Remember that story? She chose to hide those spies. And she chose, at that time and chance that she had, she chose to look to the God, the Creator. God dealt with her. And because of that, you'll find Rahab is one of the women listed in the lineage of Jesus. Because she made a right choice. She chose in her heart to come to Jesus, to come to God. Same way with Ruth. If you turn to the first chapter of Ruth, the story of Ruth, how that Ruth, she was from Moab. And if you read about the Moabites, you'll find that they came from Lot. Lot was their great-great-great-grandfather. And they knew some about God, but they had started serving false gods, and they were ones that gave the children of Israel trouble when they were coming through the wilderness. And there was a famine in the land, and so her mother-in-law and, Naomi and her husband and two sons had gone into Moab to try to survive and make ends meet, you might say. And when they got there, hardship struck, and Naomi's husband died and both of her sons. And so it was, she wanted to come back to Israel, to her homeland, and she told her two daughter-in-laws, she said, just stay here with your family and let me go. I'm going back to my home place. Just stay here. I'm going back to Bethlehem. But one daughter-in-law turned aside and went back. But Ruth said, no. I see something in you. Since I've been in your family, you serve the true God. And I don't want to leave you. I want to stay with you. And so Ruth said those famous words. She said, whether you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. This is Ruth, the first chapter, 16th verse. Whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She made a choice there. She chose to go with Naomi. She chose Naomi's God. And because Ruth did that, she is also in the lineage of Christ. Ruth married Boaz. Boaz and Ruth had Jesse. Jesse had David. And so we find David down through the lineage. Jesus was born. They also lived in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wasn't he? Ruth made a right choice, but she chose that. She chose that. It was not because she was born of the Jews. It was because she chose the better part. Time and chance. God deals with every heart. And not only does he deal with every heart about getting saved, which is the right thing to do, and to live for God, but he also deals with those that are saved about making wise decisions through the day. If you'll turn with me to Luke, the 14th chapter. Jesus was talking here about a feast. Luke 14, and we'll just read this in the 16th verse. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now Jesus told this parable here, and it means, as I've heard it told many times, that the Lord seeks out those out there in the highways and hedges, and he is one that wants all to come to him. But I was thinking of the ones that made the excuses, and they were the first ones that were called, and they were the ones that the meal was actually prepared for, And yes, there again we can say it was the Jews. But I want to bring it down to us today and to the church. You know, the Lord has prepared a meal for us. And every day we can wake up in the morning and we can choose to pray and read the Word of God. We can choose that. Or we can choose to go about our day busy and leave Him out. Because we can say, oh, I've got so much to do. I've got to get this done. I don't have time right now, Lord, to pray. I don't have time right now to read. No, I don't have time, but I've got some work to do. We can make that choice. And in time, if we're not careful, we can squeeze the Lord out. And the Lord says, I've got a meal prepared for you here. I want you to sit down and read the Word a while. I want you to pray. I want you to meditate upon me. I've got some things I want to talk to you about. But I'm so busy, Lord. I don't have the time right now. I got this other that I have to do. Now, the Lord's got a meal prepared for His people. And that's where we gain our strength. That's where we get our nourishment in our soul for every day. The Lord is working. He's seeking out those that are willing to come to the feast. And we need to be there ready to receive from Him. We need to take time to be holy. I think that song was called this morning. We need to take time to be holy. We need to take time to come and meditate upon Him and learn from Him and learn His ways. Not to be too busy with our time. Because the Lord has called out. And He has chosen. And we are blessed. We are blessed to be raised to know the truth. We've been blessed to be taught the truth. But it doesn't make us more holy. It doesn't make us more, special to the Lord if we don't learn of Him, if we don't advantage ourselves at the table and don't grow in Him, we're going to start counting, oh, I was just saved and I know it, and it's going to become head knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? Just like the Pharisees had that, oh, we're of Father Abraham's seed. We're of his seed, and so we know what's right. And Jesus said to them in John, the 6th chapter, He said, you don't even know the Father. Oh, yes, we do. We know the Father because we're of Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, no, because you don't do the works of my Father. The Lord wants us to meditate upon Him. Not be so busy that we cannot feast and feed from His table. Because if we're not careful, the cares of life can get us so busy, so wrapped up in activity. That's not wrong, because the things that these people said wasn't wrong. They bought a piece of ground. That's not wrong. He wanted to try 5 yoke of oxen, that's not wrong. And getting married, that's not wrong. Those things were not wrong. But what happened was they made them priorities. They made them priorities. And they did not think it was necessary to come and eat at the master's table. And so they got so busy with other priorities that Jesus said, they did not get to eat at all. So the warning that came to me was, Lord, help me that I don't get so wrapped up in the things of this life that are legal, that are lawful, that I need to do, you know? And it's important things, but I can get so wrapped up in them, and the Lord will be saying, I want you to come and take care of this for me. I want you to do this duty for me. But Lord, I need to clean my house. I've got to get done. No, I want you to come and do that. Lord, I got to clean my house. You know my house. See what I'm saying, you know? And it's not wrong to clean the house. But I have to yield to the Lord first and do the Lord's bidding. He wants me to come and eat at His table and maybe feed somebody else. Work for Him somewhere. And yes, it's hard on me to let my house go sometimes for a while. Yes, it's, you know, and I'm saying this because it's been a challenge to me. The Lord says, come, there's something I want you to do. I want you to come and I'll tell you what, we had a neighbor man, and Dwayne went to see him. We've known this man for years. And he told Dwayne, he said, I'm having open heart surgery this weekend, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. And he was, you know, talking to Dwayne, and Dwayne said, well, we'll be praying for you. And he said, well, I need all the prayers I can get. Well, we know these neighbors as being people that they don't go to church that I know of, and just your common people society. And so the Lord laid it on my heart that I needed to get a track, give them a card and a track about getting saved, because I thought of that dream, you know, that dream that a man had one time. He dreamed he went to heaven, and he got there, and his neighbor, he was looking around for his neighbor, and he said, where is he? And the Lord said, well, did you ever invite him to church? Did you ever tell him about the Lord? And the man in the dream said, no. And the Lord said, well, that's why your neighbor's not here. So that dream came to my mind, and I thought, well, I need to take time and get a track. So I got to the school, and I was going to go to the print chapel. That's when Brother Willie and Sister Nita were gone. And the Lord just worked it out that I met Sister Deanne at the end of the stairs. And I told her, I said, would you open the print shop and let me get a couple of tracks? Because I need to take these tracks to the neighbor man. He's having surgery, and I want to get that to him before he goes in for the operation. So she was gracious enough to go to the print shop, and I got a couple of tracks and got the card. And all this time, you know, I thought, I've got to get over there. And you know how it is. So many things keep happening. And finally I said, I'm going to go down and see him. Well, they have dogs in their yard that are not nice. They're bad dogs. And I thought, Lord, please help me to get there whenever one of the people, well, the guy that was having surgery, the older man, lives in the backyard of his son. And I thought, well, help little Gary or older Gary or Beverly or somebody to be there whenever I step inside the gate to get the dogs off, because there's about four of them, and I don't like them. They're very aggressive dogs. And so I had all this in my mind, and I thought, I've got to get this done. So anyway, I got in there, and sure enough, Beverly was out opening a door. So I called to her, and I said, I have a card for Gary. She said, come on in. So I did, and we talked a while, and I gave her the track. And after I left, I thought, oh, what if I did the wrong thing? What if this makes him upset? You know, and I thought, well, Lord, just help that to be a blessing to him. Help him not to be offended. Because she said, oh, Gary, he's, you know, praying and hoping this all goes well. And, you know, she said this to me and all. So he had surgery Saturday. Well, would you know, we had a lot of things going on in our life, too, and we were gone. And about Tuesday or so, we found out that somebody had stolen some things at our house in the yard, in the field. They had stolen one of Dwayne's generators and some things he had in the back. And it was Saturday. And you know what the devil said to me? I'll tell you what he said to me. He goes, because we kind of think it's all in the neighborhood there. He said, well, it's from you taking that card to the neighbor that had the track, and that's what did it. It made him mad. That's what the devil said to me. And I said, that's a lie. That's a lie. The Lord was blessing me, and he wanted me to take that track. He wanted me to take that track over to the neighbor and give it to them. He wanted me to do that, and he blessed me in doing it. But you know that the enemy likes to work against us and cause us not to do it. Because another time when I passed out tracks over here at this bar, put tracks on the door, something else was stolen. And the devil said, see, you work out there and pass out tracks, that's what happens. I said, okay, I'm going to get some more and pass out more. Because the enemy is trying his best to discourage us from working for the Lord. So what the devil wants to do is, this is what he's let me see, he wants to keep us so busy within our families, which isn't bad, so busy within the immediate needs that we have, which are important, that we cannot see souls out there in need, bad need. And then if we do something, the devil likes to backfire on us and say, see, it's not going to help. and it's just going to make you worse. That's the devil. That's the enemy saying that. And here in this parable, Jesus said to go out and bring those in. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And there's room. There's plenty of room at the Master's table for us. If we come and eat, there's room for others to come too. The Lord wants us to be about His business. He wants us to do His work and not to be discouraged in it. And I'm telling you, I feel like the enemy today is doing all he can to keep us down and to make us discouraged and make us not feel like what we do is worthwhile or it's so small it doesn't amount to much. That's the enemy saying that. The Lord wants us to do His bidding, to eat at His table, to fill ourselves, have our soul full, so that when we do go, we have something to offer. I was thinking of a choice that Moses made. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I was thinking of Moses a little bit this week, and it tells here, just in a quick summary about Moses, in the 23rd verse, Hebrews 11 and 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, that took courage. His parents chose. They had a chance there and they chose to save Moses' life. They were slaves. They were in bondage there. Nothing they had, they really owned, not even their children, because they were slaves. And when they had that little boy, their hearts had great love and compassion on that child. And when the mother saw she couldn't keep it any longer, that he was a male child, she had courage, but she chose to put that baby in a basket. And I'm sure she prayed over that baby. And then she put that basket in the water, and she set her older daughter to watch that basket. Don't you know that mother's heart was praying? Lord, please protect my baby. Don't let my baby fall in the wrong hands. And so it was, the Lord had his hand upon that little baby in that basket. And Pharaoh's daughter saw it there in the water, and she heard the baby crying, and her heart went out to that baby, and she took it out of the basket, and Miriam, the sister, the older sister, was right there, and she asked her, she said, would you like somebody to take care of this baby? And the Pharaoh's daughter said, yes. And Miriam said, I know a nursemaid that could help take care of him. And so it was that Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. God had his hand in all that. But that was hard on that mother to let that baby go in the basket. But the Lord had mercy there. And because of that, Moses then, when he was probably 2 or 3, after he was weaned, I'm sure that mother, while she had him in her care, I'm sure she talked to him and told him about Jesus, about God. Not Jesus, about God. She told him about God. She told him about his family, the truth about God, and she trained him. And by the time he was 2 or 3, which is the weaning age, and went back to Pharaoh's house, he had that down in his memory, the things that his mother had taught him. So we find in the 24th verse, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the riches of that time, being Pharaoh's grandson. And history has some, put some into it that he probably was a general because of being in that position. He was probably taught military skills. He might have even been commander of a military, over men. He had authority and power, being Pharaoh's grandson. But he refused that. He made a decision. And he chose to be called an Israelite, a slave. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And it goes on to say, esteeming the reproach of Christ, which is going down the line looking there, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. So God used Moses, but it wasn't because Moses was necessarily, he chose. Moses chose this. Moses made some choices. He made choices to stay with God. He could have forsaken that, but instead he chose. Time and chance comes to every person. Every person. And it's not what we've been born into naturally. It's not who we are naturally as far as our build, male, female, but it is the choice we make with what we've been given in life. That's what makes the difference. That's where the difference is. Time and chance comes to everyone. Every person is given an opportunity in life to choose life, to choose God. That's in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, 30 and 19. Every person is given that chance in life. And it's not the battles that we face, because we all have battles. We all have trials in life. We all have physical handicaps. We all have handicaps or trials or difficulties in life. We all have those. But it's what we do with them that makes the difference whether we make heaven our home, whether Jesus lives in our heart or not. That's what makes the difference if we've accepted Jesus to help us. In Deuteronomy 30 and... let's see here. 19. This is Moses talking. He was talking to the people. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He said, I'm setting before you, now you may choose. I've been... I'll tell you a little story about this one person first. His name is Nick, and I don't know if you can find him on online. But he's a man, young man that was born without any arms and legs. He just has a little paddle down below where his stubs are that helps him to walk. We've been following his life. But he said whenever he was 10 that he wished his parents had not let him live. He wanted to die. And he had his parents bestowed love upon him and helped him and encouraged him. But you can imagine how discouraging it would be to not have any arms. They're just cut off right here. His body is just a stump. He has a very handsome face, very attractive young man, but he does not have any arms or any legs. He didn't choose to be born that way. He was born that way. His parents chose life for him. But he said when he was about 10 years old, he wanted to die. He did not want to live. And there's a lot to the story. But he threw himself in the water. He was able to swim, and he was just going to stay down under. But while he was there, God revealed himself to him, and he said, Nick, I've got a purpose in your life. There's something you can do in your life. And the Lord dealt with him, and he committed his heart to Jesus. There's a lot to the story. And he began to get a hold of the fact that there was a purpose for him in life. And instead of resenting not having arms and legs, he began to use it for his advantage. Did you know that today he's one of the number one top demanded speakers in our country, speaking across the nation? And he gets on the stage and he begins to talk to people about the Lord and how the Lord can bless them and the conditions and the situations they're in life. And people are moved because he's got a great compassion there. And he tells about how God has been blessing him. And about 2 or 3 years ago, he got married. And he said now he's looking forward to having children. I don't know. I haven't seen if he has any children yet. But I'm saying this to say he got a hold of Jesus. He made a choice. He chose life. And he got a hold of the Lord. And even though he had circumstances that were very negative in his life, he chose to turn them around to be a blessing and not to be a cursing. And he chose to live for God. And you see, from that point on, his life became blessed. Yes, he still has a handicap. He still has problems, I'm sure, many times. He was telling about driving his car. No, wait a minute. He was riding in the car. And he said what he likes to do is, while he's riding in the car, he likes to do, when they're sitting at a light, he likes to turn around in the seat, like go, turn around in the seat. And he said it makes the people right beside him in the other car just stare, you know. But what he does is he has humor with what he speaks about and what he says. And he's turned around the situation of his life. He has made it a blessing to him. The Lord does that to us. He helps us. We all have problems. We all have trials in life. And they're heavy. But if we choose the Lord, and if we look for the blessing, if we ask him to help us, and we feed at his table, not too busy in life to stop and feed at his table, he will help us, and then we can have more to share with other people. We can, you know, encourage others, too, in the way. Yes, I've been in a situation like that, too. I know what it's like. You know, I've appreciated those that's been guidelines in my life that's helped me. They've been in trials, and they've been in battles like what I'm going through, and they'll say, Connie, you can make it. Because I've been in the valley like that before too, and you can do it, you know. And it's because they've been in that valley, and they chose life. They chose blessing. So then they turn around and encourage and bless me and help me along, and I appreciate that so much. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants it to be in our heart. He wants us to feast at his table. But it takes time. We can't be too busy to do it. We've got to take time to learn of the Lord, to study his word, to lean upon him, to listen to his voice. You know, he talked to me about that, and I've shared that before, where when we get down to pray, we can just, if we're not careful, just give him all of our list of things we want him to do and get up and go. But the Lord wants us to stop, be quiet. Be still in our soul and listen. Lord, what do you want me to do here? What do you want to say to me, Lord? And be quiet in our soul and listen to him, because he has things he wants to say to us too. And this has been something the Lord has talked to me about too. He's dealt with me on this, because sometimes, like I said, we can get busy. And I'm a person, I like to write lists. I get these lists, and I've got to get these things done. And they're not bad things. They're good things. But the Lord says, slow down. Stop. If I want you to do something for me, I want you to stop and take time to do it. Don't be too busy. Don't get so carried away with the cares of life that you don't take time to listen to my voice, that you don't take time to do something quick. Maybe I just brought into your day just right now, impromptu, you know, and I want you to do it. Stop. Take time to do it. Because time and chance comes only sometimes just once for us to reach out to a soul that might need help. Just one time. We might just have a chance, just a window of opportunity. And we don't know if that might be the Lord reaching out to that soul. And if we just pass up what the Lord wants us to do, we're too busy. Well, we may have missed bidding that soul to come to the Master's table. And Lord, help us to be careful and serve Him and do His will.